Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Are you ready?
The Spiegel and Parkin Show.
They think you can tell us what to do.
Chris Bryant posted a picture on his Instagram recently with him golfing. Apparently, one Instagram user was not happy with old KB golfing. He says, quote, "Man, hit the weight room instead of the green, pretty boy. You could have the power of Judge or Stanton if you put on another 20 pounds, and you'd still look pretty. What a waste."
What the hell did you just say?
Chris Bryant apparently saw this comment, and this is the most savage thing Chris Bryant's ever done, I think.
Probably in his life. When he went off on the home plate umpire in the Cubs Sox game.
Ooh, he did do that, didn't he?
Like, he might have dropped the four-letter word, which I don't know if...
Darn?
Gosh darn it!
Yeah, that might have been it.
He saw the comment. This is a quote from Chris Bryant. "I think I've had a pretty decent 3 years, all while looking pretty doing it. Save it, pal."
450 feet
laying
off the video
down the
board
hammer.
And left. Chris Bryant.
For Chris Bryant
your
standards.
Your savagery for you right there.
Oh!
Matt Spiegel, Danny Parkins, Middays on the Score.
That was yesterday's episode of the Spiegel and Parkins Show. And welcome in. Happy Wednesday to you. It's Nick Shepkowski. And instead of Kevin Zipak, it's Jay Zawoski, the executive producer of Normally This Show. He jumps behind a microphone and joins me today as we both fill in for the Spiegel and Parkin show that you hear every weekday from 9 until 1. Happy holidays. We officially brought Merry Christmas back yesterday to Zipak and I.
Oh, thank you.
So a late Merry Christmas to you as well, Jay.
You too, buddy. It's great to be here with you. There's no one I'd rather be hosting with, so I'm happy to be here today. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Spiegel and Parkin show. I think it will never be a better Spiegel and Parkin show than there's going to be this morning.
Yeah,
they've
I
never sounded better.
Not gonna lie, everything's just a countdown until Can't Do It at 11:40 today. I listen to that every week just to hear how uncomfortable Spiegs can be. Especially Danny's pretty much open to answering. I'd say about 85-90% of all things. Spiegel just gets real squirmy, especially if you're watching on the video stream, and you can do that today at watch670thescore.com. But at 11:40, Can't Do It is going to come your way, and I don't know. I don't even know what to expect with that necessarily, but I just know I'm looking forward to it and the uncomfort that comes along with all of that.
Well, that's the fun of it, is you don't know what's going to come from it, and the hosts don't know what's going to be asked until the question is asked. And when Can't Do It was created, you were the guy I knew of the employees here that would love it. There's a lot
don't. Yeah.
But I knew that you would be number one.
Embrace it.
Yes.
Embrace it. All your insecurities and whatever else, let them flow. Everything that you're uncomfortable with, let it all flow. This hour brought to you by Horowitz and Horowitz, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. As always, you can tune into the show. Obviously, you're doing that, but you can participate in the show at 312-644-6767. That's a telephone number. We take your text messages along the way. As well, 67011 is how you can participate by way of that. Also, Jay's on Twitter at Jay Zawoski, at Jay Zawoski 670. I'm at Shep 670. That's how you can follow us along and participate in the show that way. Also, tons to get to today. I have the worst play I think I've seen in football history, or at least the worst play call. It's in the discussion. Maybe that's too grand of a statement, but it's in the discussion. We have that to cover. It's John Fox funeral week, as he's going to be out of a job this coming Monday, I would fully assume. So we'll take back and look at some of the memories of John Fox and where it all went wrong, which was pretty early on. It felt like tons of that to get to. But I want to start, because when I look at you, there's one thing that I think, and I can't wait to pick your brain about.
Burritos.
Well, that's also on the list. The Chicago Bulls in NBA basketball.
Let's go.
My friend.
Finally.
My friend. The Bulls again last night. An exciting game. Fun game up in Milwaukee. They walk out victorious. And for the eighth time in their last 10 tries, 8-2 since Nico Mirotic came back, they find another way to pull out a victory. And I find myself, for the first time probably since the Tom Thibodeau-led Bulls team where Nate Robinson was puking in the bucket. Luol Deng was in intensive care, and Derrick Rose was in his suit sitting at the end of the bench. But for the first time, I think, since that season, since that playoff series against the New Jersey Nets, or I guess the Brooklyn Nets at the time, it's the first time I actually enjoy like watching the Bulls and this whole tank model. Oh, lose games, get a top five pick, get a top three pick, get your chances of getting that number one pick. It's like I find myself as a fan not caring about the draft pick, even though I know that it's better for the Bulls. It gives them a better chance of landing what might be a superstar if you're drafting higher. All of that considered, this has been fun so far this year, watching a team that's still 11 games under 500.
Well, I think this feels maybe a little different for Bulls fans because you're finally seeing a plan. John Paxson addressed it on Christmas, used the word in his first response.
Holiday tradition to David like no other.
Of course. His first response to David Schuster used the word rebuild. That's the plan. And for the first, maybe not the first time, but for the first time in a long time under Garpax, there is a clear direction for this team. They didn't go add useless veterans to just make them a playoff team. They designed, they set up for a tank. And yeah, they're playing probably better than anyone expected, but it's these young guys that could be part of things for years to come that are leading this charge. And I think as a fan, it feels better that way because you look and say, in the NBA, if you can get a franchise player, things are, it's done.
The You're knocking on the door of 50 wins almost by default if you have one of those elite, elite guys.
Exactly. And if even if you get someone that's very good, maybe not LeBron or Westbrook or Steph Curry, but the step below that, another Jimmy Butler type maybe, you're a playoff team, you're a contender right away. So if you're seeing these young players develop, you know Zach LaVine is on the horizon. Markkanen's only going to get better. Dunn's only going to get better. So you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Even though it's far away, you know that it could be very soon that the Bulls are competing again.
Yeah, that they're competing. It's been fun so far to watch. And I enjoyed the comments after the game yesterday. And I know that people were reacting to Chris Dunn getting in the little bit of the scrap yesterday and in last night's contest. But what I took away from it was his comments. We looked for the audio. We didn't have the actual audio files of it. So I'll read the part to you of what he had to say last night because Joe Colley wrote his piece in the Sun-Times today. And he asked Chris Dunn about what's it like to play for a team, a fan base where a large number, a large percentage of fans are thinking tank, are thinking do everything to get the best odds to get the number one overall pick. And Dunn's response to that, and you might remember he was a top five pick, what, 2 years ago now out of Providence. Not necessarily a powerhouse, but they were a tournament team with Chris Dunn there. I've never heard of that in my life, and that's why it's really hard to answer that question. It's like, who doesn't like winning? It's almost a lose-lose situation if I answer that question. We're not going out there to lose. We work hard every single day. We're professionals at the end of the day. People have families. Our job is not to lose on purpose. The last few weeks haven't been an accident. We feel like we can play with anyone. Now, the Bulls, that's great that they feel that way, that they can play with anyone. Obviously, the talent on their roster versus what's the rest of the NBA, what's the rest of the Eastern Conference says differently, even after. I'm not thinking that the 10-game stretch here says a whole lot about the Bulls overachieving and going to be winning 40 games and be a playoff team. But that's what I like to hear. Like, that's the mentality I want from a player that is going to hopefully be one of the building blocks of this franchise. And Chris Dunn's not going to be a superstar, most likely, but if he's the point guard on this team when the superstars are here, when this team is hopefully contending in the Eastern Conference, that's the attitude I want. I don't give a damn. I don't want guys out there like, yep, go out and play well myself, but go and lose a game and hopefully get another megastar here. Baloney. I'm out here, I'm getting paid to play this game, and I'm going to bust my ass to beat whoever it is in front of me, and we'll draft whoever is available at the sixth spot instead of the fourth spot.
Well, I don't care what kind of fan you are. If you're full on for tank, lose every game, increase your chances at that number one pick overall, or if you want to see them be competitive, either way, I don't think anyone wants a player on their team that is happy playing in that situation where it's a rebuild, where it's tank to win, anything like that. You want guys that are competitive. You want guys that want to win. And you and I played sports in high school. You played in college a little bit. It sucks to lose. And even if there's a reason for losing, using the air quotes there, reason for losing, it doesn't feel any better as a player. You know, John Paxson referenced that night where the Bulls fell to 3-20, the loss against the Pacers, I believe it was. And that sort of felt like a turning point for the season. And Fred Hoiberg and his staff and the players all sort of reacted positively to that loss. They saw some good things on the horizon. And since then, things have been better. You want guys to care. You want guys that want to win. And I can't remember a single player that has ever said, at least publicly, yeah, you know what? The best thing for us is probably to just rebuild.
Yeah. I don't know who that would have bet.
And I'm sure there's guys that believe it and know it. But I don't know if there's any player that will publicly say it. But the Dunn quote you read, that sounds good to me. That's what I like to hear from a player. He's got the right mindset. It's not a cliched answer. We're going to go out, give 110%, blah, blah, blah. He's actually thought about his response and told you how he felt, and I think he said it perfectly.
Yeah, the thought that he says that perfectly, but it's also just I like that mentality of, okay, yeah, maybe it's best for the franchise, but what's best for us right now, the 12 of us in this room, in this locker room? Hey, guess what? When the going's good, when this is all in on this tank and the superstars are here or the better players are here, guess what that means? Half of us, if not more, are going to be out of a job because we're getting replaced.
Yep.
So it's kind of an us against the world mentality, and I can't help but get behind that a little bit. Sounds ridiculous probably, but to me, this has grown into a Bulls team I enjoy watching, and I did not think once they traded Jimmy Butler, well, not to even say that because I wasn't the biggest Jimmy Butler fan in the world either, but when they traded Jimmy Butler and you saw what the construction of this roster was going to be, I did not think that I'd be sitting here a couple days after Christmas being like, I enjoy watching the Bulls this year. And it's the old try hard thing. Like, I get that. Understaffed, undermanned versus most teams they go up against. But I have taken, not pride, but I've gotten like excitement out of watching this Bulls team over the year so far. And I feel like I still don't necessarily think that like I trust those in charge to get this right and make it a perennial power in the East. But I can separate that and look at this group of guys and say that this has been enjoyable, and I have enjoyed watching the Bulls a million times more than I ever thought I would this year.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Does the way this season has gone lately, does it change the way you feel about Garpax at all? Do you have any – since the plan has sort of worked, where these new faces, Markkanen's turned out very well, Dunn's been good, Levine's coming, do you feel a little bit less hostile towards those two? Do you want to give them a little more time to see if they can see this through?
Well, I don't want to give them more time. That expired like a dozen years ago.
Would you fire them today if the option existed?
Still, yes. Like, okay. All things and all compliments to the Bulls aside that I just gave and told you everything about how fun this team has been despite being 11 games under 500. Yes, if I'm in charge, I'm still firing John Paxson and Gar Foreman immediately with all that considered and everything out there. But I'll separate it and say that, yeah, with the group of guys that they've put out there, I think that at least the attitudes are the right way of the building blocks of a franchise. Now, is the talent there? You got a long way to go still. And Chris Dunn has looked nice at parts. And Niko Mirotić is a scoring machine. And his defense has gotten better, remarkably better, since he came off the broken face list that he was on early part of the season.
Is that a specific list?
I don't
know. The broken face list?
That's what it was. I was trying to think. I'm like, there's not really a DL in the NBA, but it was out with a broken face.
Upper body injury if it was hockey.
Yeah, that's right. We were speculating that it's a broken jaw, a broken whatever bone underneath the eye. Well, but I look at it and I still don't trust them to eventually get it entirely right. Like, I think they can get you to a certain point, a middle tier team in the East, maybe contend for a top three spot in the playoffs. But, I mean, as long as LeBron's around in the Eastern Conference, I know that the Bulls aren't going to be competing for anything anytime soon.
Well, a minute ago, you used the word try-hard team. And I think in the past, you've seen the Bulls try to do the, you know, all Shane Battier-like team with hustle guys that are good in the locker room and blah, blah, blah. And they'll give you a good number of wins just out of pure hustle alone. This feels different. It feels like they have some actual talent with Markkanen and with Don and with Niko shooting the way he is, and like I said, Levine coming up soon. It doesn't feel like it's just hustle, just try hard on this team. It seems like there are some pieces that could be here for a while.
312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. We take your text messages always as well, 67011. Start the conversation, or at least continue it, and hope when it's Jamal. You're next up on the Score. What's up, Jamal?
Not a whole lot, man. You know what? I was full tank mode, and you know, I couldn't stand Pax and Gar Pax or whoever they are for the longest. But you know what? I'm willing to kind of wipe the slate clean and see what they can do moving forward. Now, the exciting piece about this is you got some pieces that are playing really well that you can move and potentially start that rebuild and kind of get the structure in this roster pretty well. So when you talk about Miritich, talk about Portis, maybe Robin Lopez, if you move those pieces at the right time for the right people, on top of the fact they're going to have a boatload of money moving forward. So the slate is pretty clean. They're playing well. You know, Hoiberg is having his best stint as the head coach. You know, if Garpax and everybody up top can make the right moves, they could be in pretty good position moving forward.
Jamal, thanks for the call. Here's my concern. And yeah, they're going to have a lot of money to spend. This does not seem like Chicago, the Bulls. I don't see a lot of big name free agents looking at this and saying that's a situation I want to go to yet. The reputation, I think, is still pretty bad based on how things went with Jimmy Butler, how things went with Derrick Rose, how things went with Tibbs. I don't know
how things went with Dwayne Wade. He was supposed to be the big free agent that changed the entire culture of everything, of finally landed the big fish. And you saw what a disaster that was halfway through last season. You saw the signs of, oh boy, this is not going to end well. And through the buyout and everything, of everything that was supposed to solve and supposed to fix, I feel very uncomfortable saying that it did any of that whatsoever.
Yeah, and I know money talks, but I'm not sure that they're
quite... I think AC/DC told us that once.
They did. I'm not sure the Bulls are quite a free agent destination yet. You never know. Maybe someone will want to play in the house that Jordan built. I think every year that passes, that becomes less and less likely.
The problem is that people keep getting younger and younger, and nobody saw Jordan anymore when you're talking about free agents in the NBA.
Exactly.
It's the myth of Michael Jordan.
That is going away. Chep and I, Notre Dame fans... The pride for playing for Notre Dame is no longer a thing. That's not a thing for college kids anymore. It doesn't even resonate.
Hey, you can play on national TV every week. You have to be on NBC. Well, it's like, yeah, there's Big Ten Network, there's ESPN, there's ESPN2, there's ESPNU, there's this, there's that, there's SEC Network, there's everything else. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number to call. At 11 o'clock today, we'll talk more Bulls with Vinny Goodwill of NBC Sports Chicago. He was up in Milwaukee last night covering that game. About 45 minutes from now, it's Mike Florio. And always, like you guys have on Wednesdays, Pat Manley, the guy that we used to produce for, the one and only Pat Manley, will join us in studio for the 12 o'clock hour. Your thoughts on the rebuild? Have your thoughts on this Bulls team changed? 312-644-6767 is how you can go about doing that. This segment brought to you by ADT. Home isn't just a place. It's the feeling of knowing you're safe. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com. Bulls conversation and your thoughts on tanking just as a fan, whether it's the Bulls or any team that you're a fan of. We'll discuss that further next. It's Nick Shepkowski and Jay Zawoski. We're in for the Spiegel and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open to get a stop, a 5-point drive. Finish.
Whoa, big move. Big
first
move.
Done and a timeout by Jason Kidd.
Ooh, he crossed Giannis over.
Chris Dunn doing work last night. You saw it, you heard it, and watched it on NBC Sports Chicago. Welcome back in. It's Nick Shepkowski and Jay Zawoski with you on the Spiegel and Parkin Show. That's who we're in for. Hey, I know we're not talking Bears right now, but we do every Monday. And guess what? This coming Monday is going to be a big one. It'll be a Bears Monday of epic proportions. And you can tune into every Monday to Built Ford Tough Bears Monday here on The Score. It's brought to you by your local Ford stores. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number to call. Text messages always welcome, 670-11. As we're in, and I wanted to get into the bigger picture here, not necessarily about the future of the Bulls, the direction they're headed. Do you have more faith in Gar Foreman and John Paxson? You asked me that earlier. Has it changed my perception of them? It's like, yeah, I'll give them a little bit of credit. And yes, they've also had still 20-ish type years to get this right, and they've shown their inability to do so. So if I'm given the choice, I would still fire them immediately. But that's not the conversation that I'm going to necessarily have today. It's more about you as just the sports fan in this capacity. And so many people were quick to get on board this offseason, as soon as Butler was dealt, or even before Butler was dealt. Oh, Bulls got a tank. They got a tank and get a bunch of top draft picks. And it's like, okay, well, I understand the philosophy. You look what Cleveland did. And sure, they didn't end up winning a title when they had LeBron the first time, but they got one of the best players in the league, the best player in the league eventually. Wasn't that when he was drafted, but he turned into that. turned into a generational athlete. And the Cavaliers, when he's been in their uniform, have been a regular for 50-plus wins, a regular in the discussion for the Eastern Conference Championship. And you land one of those guys, and all of a sudden, that gets you so close. And in order to land one of those out of the draft, you have to be drafting extremely high. In some cases, it'll fall to two or three, but usually that goes number one. I get that. I understand that. But in the NBA, I mean, you look at the examples of the Philadelphia 76ers have been doing this for years. And as much publicity as they've gotten for Joel Embiid and him being a star when he's healthy this year and such a social media savvy dude and all that, then you look in the standings and it's like you're surprised. Like, oh, if the playoffs started, 76ers would be sitting at home right now. So if that really worked for them, and this whole tanking idea just as a fandom, and I feel like everyone out there can call me out for being a hypocrite when I say this, because my favorite team in sports, the Cubs, did it and mastered it and won a World Series because of it. But as a fan, I don't like it. It's not enjoyable. Like, why do we watch sports? Like, when you turn on a Hawks game, when you turn on whatever your Cubs game, whatever it is, why do you watch?
I want to see the team win. I want to see a competitive game. I want to see them play as well as they can and compete as much as they can with hopes of a championship. That's the point of being a fan of a sports team, right?
It's mine is for enjoyment. It's like, and what brings enjoyment? Winning,
yeah,
obviously. Competing for titles, winning, regularly being good. I get part of that as part of the process and part of getting there. But I mean, one out of 30 teams wins a championship every year. So if it's short of a championship, I can't sit there and just beat myself up an entire... Okay, the Cubs thing was a little bit different because they dragged you through hell in so many different ways throughout your fandom. But I just, I watch it for the enjoyment of it and rooting for my team to win. And so I can't sit here and say that, like, I can watch the Bulls or watch the Bears right now and be like, oh, I gotta lose. Like, on Christmas Eve when the Bears and Browns game's on. I'm like, really? I'm going to sit here and argue with myself about if it's better for the Bears to draft fifth instead of seventh or whatever it end up being.
Right.
Instead of losing to a winless team, how embarrassing that would be. Hell no, I don't want the Bears to lose that game. So it's one of those, I just, as a fan, I have trouble getting on board with the rooting for losses type thing. And I wonder if anybody else has that same kind of issue. 312-644-6767.
Well, I think the Cubs have sort of changed the way we look at things. And I know we have to get an update here. But on the other side, I'll sort of explain what I mean by, you know, the Cubs ruining it for every other team in town.
That's Jay Zawoski. I'm Nick Szczepkowski. Conversation on that and your telephone calls next on 670 The Score. Welcome back in, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. It is Nick Szczepkowski and Jay Zawoski with you. As always, your telephone calls at 312-644-6767, discussing the Bulls a little bit and just tanking as a fandom. How you root for it, how you feel about it, and are you conflicted? Because I can sit here and say that, yeah, I understand it's better for the Bulls maybe long-term to lose games and get a higher pick, but then also sit there and say that I don't enjoy watching them lose, and that sucks to sit through, and I kind of want to live in the moment at the same time. So that's the conversation we're starting to have, and people wanting to chime in on that discussion at 312-644-6767.
Well, before the update, I mentioned that the Cubs have sort of ruined things for teams looking to rebuild, because the way the Cubs did it, Theo Epstein came in and burnt the damn thing to the ground. From top to bottom, every player, the entire organization, the minor league system, the entire Cubs organization was rewritten, literally, by hand.
Cubs way. They literally wrote a book.
It's a thing. It's from top to bottom, a plan of execution for the entire organization. Before Theo Epstein got here, the Cubs were a complete dumpster fire. No clue where they wanted to go. No organizational expectation as far as development. There was nothing. It was just as random as it can be. Everyone's on a different page. So it's hard to compare that situation to the Bears or the Bulls or the Hawks or anybody else. Like we mentioned earlier, the Bulls are one franchise player away from contending, as is every NBA team. Because history shows you, if you get that one guy, he can pretty much carry you Well, he to can at least carry contention.
You, and then him being there attracts other stars to come to your team as well.
Exactly.
Like, stars want to play with stars. I mean, you see how these super teams are formed and created, whether it's the Heat back when they did it with Wade, LeBron, and Chris Bosh, or the Celtics with Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce. Like, stars want to play with stars. You're seeing it now. The Thunder doing the same thing. Carmelo and Paul George, what the people think the Lakers might be here in a couple of years as well. Stars want to play with stars. You get one, you're more likely to land another.
But as far as football goes, I'm trying to think of teams that have been consistently bad that have suddenly just gotten
Browns.
Better. Oh. Because of having high draft picks.
Jacksonville.
Right? That was 20 years back.
Right.
But now look at all the talent that they have everywhere.
But Jacksonville hadn't been in the playoffs for what? 10 years?
Yeah.
Last time they were in the playoffs was 2007 before this year.
That's hardly a rebuild. That's just failure after failure. And finally.
That's almost like the Kansas City Royals thing.
Yes.
From baseball.
Exactly.
Where it's like, oh, the Royals, yeah, these draft picks finally turned out.
The Rams.
The Royals hadn't had a 500 season in forever before that.
Yeah. And Jacksonville was horrific. And they have been since. I always do my eras by game system. Like, they've been bad since the PS2. Right? Like, at least.
Yeah, because it would have been my senior year.
They had Fred Taylor
college.
On the PS1.
Did they really?
I think so.
Fred Taylor was PS1. James Stewart,
yeah.
David Garrard would have been the quarterback in the PS2 era. The, like, Madden 2007, Madden 2008-ish would have been the Jaguars quarterback back then. Not quite like the Mark Brunell days.
The Rams are a recent example, but they got a franchise quarterback.
The quarterback makes the thing easier.
Like, exactly.
The Philadelphia Eagles, they draft Carson Wentz, they're on the road to the Super Bowl.
Well, and that's the question here, with Trubisky.
That's what excites you if you're a Bears fan of your hope for Mitchell Trubisky.
And we were talking before the show, that is it. Mitch Trubisky is the only Bear I care about. I know that sounds crazy. Leonard Floyd, too. Leonard Floyd in there, too.
But if you're watching this Bears game against Minnesota on Sunday.
I am. Face painted and everything.
Right. I'm going to be watching because of that video you showed me of the Vikings chanting. Oh, my God.
You've got a YouTube.
Made me want to run through a wall.
The Viking skull chant.
With the guy that shot Bin Laden.
Oh, yeah.
Like the most badass thing before. It felt like a European soccer match. I was like ready for riots and fires to start.
It's how they introduced the guy, too. Ladies and gentlemen, the soldier that shot Bin Laden. And the crowd just goes crazy.
They start doing their crazy cheer. It's like, good Lord, are we getting ready for a football game or to go to battle here?
I brought that video in and said, if anyone has to see this, it's Shep. And I said, it will make you want to run through a brick wall. And I think from the moment I showed you until the 20 minutes after,
times.
Yeah, you probably watched it 10 times in a row, different versions of it.
Yeah, different versions of that. But yeah, but you look at the Bears and what are you excited to watch for?
Mitch.
At this point.
That's it.
Mitchell Trubisky's development.
Eddie Jackson a little bit.
Yeah, you're curious if he's going to be making turnovers. Like, there's still things with his game that need development, but I guess that's any middle round rookie.
Akeem Hicks.
Figure that.
Akeem Hicks had a great season. But he's got maybe 2-3 years left of high-level football, and then he'll probably start to fade.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Trevathan, same thing when he's healthy. Pernell McPhee's been a disappointment. Kyle Fuller, who's finally showing some signs of life, might not be a Bear next year. Shaheen, does he excite you? Jordan Howard, who has been,
almost got a little bit too comfortable with you and said something I would have said in the control room. I had to censor myself since there's a microphone there. But I think my response to, does Adam Shaheen excite me? It would have been bleep no.
Yeah.
Like, what about Adam Shaheen excites you? Because he had a couple of scores against Cincinnati, against a Bengals team that linebackers looked like they had cashed out for the season and didn't have a care in the world in that game. No, Adam Shaheen doesn't excite me.
No, and Jordan Howard is a nice running back, but he's not going to be a guy that's going to have
a long career.
He's
knocking on the door of the NFC rushing leader this year, being right up there towards the top of that list. Like, do you describe Jordan Howard as a difference maker at any point? Like, you look at Jordan Howard and be like, yep, he's a guy. He's a good player.
Good player.
But in terms of a difference maker, it'd be like, yep, that's the kind of guy you need on a team that's going to contend for something. Dime a dozen is what it feels like. And I know that, it's him doing the bulk of the work instead of it being, you look at some of the attacks around the NFL, the rushing attacks they have, and it's not just one guy or two guys, but it's more body split and carries. It's like, all right, yeah, Howard solidifies that. but it's not like he's changing a game like LaDainian Tomlinson or Marshall Faulk or some of the other great running backs change games. Like it's not anywhere near like Ezekiel Elliott when he's on the field.
No. So to me, the guy I'm watching every week, the reason I'm still watching Bears games, aside from my job, of course, but if I was a fan, I'm watching to watch Trubisky. That's really all I truly care about. And so far I'm encouraged. I like what I've seen. The stuff that he struggled with is stuff you expect a young quarterback to struggle with. And he seems to have the respect of his teammates. He's a student of the game, all the things you want to see. So I have a lot of faith that he's going to turn into a pretty good quarterback. He may not be Aaron Rodgers.
Well,
but if he could be
looking at NFL history, you can argue that nobody's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
But if he could be a Matt Ryan type,
I would be okay with like, Matt Ryan. Yes, I would be okay.
Top 10?
I would be okay if Jimmy Garoppolo, if Mitchell Trubisky, he's still in my head, man. Watching him the last few weeks, I cannot stop thinking about Jimmy Garoppolo.
You sure it's just not his looks?
Well, I'm sure it's just not his looks. By the way, Tony told me I was an idiot the other day because I made this comparison. Jimmy Garoppolo and Albert Almora separated at birth.
I can see
Take a look at that when you get a chance. Like those two were separated at birth and nobody told their families. Just something to do when you have a little bit of free time today. But to answer that, it's Mitchell Trubisky. And I think that he's gotten better, especially his progressions. You can see him work through a play better than he did early on this season. Other than that, I mean, I thought that he was more – I almost feel like that Vikings first couple drives against the Vikings on Monday Night Football, it was like, wow, moving the ball downfield and moving him on it feels like that one to me was the excitement high point-wise for anything he did. Maybe the throw in overtime against the Ravens that set him up for the win. There hasn't been a whole ton that it's like, oh, my God, yep, this is the turn-the-corner game for Trubisky.
Yeah.
But you can see him. I think that it's safe to say that he's steadily taking steps so far this year. This segment on The Score brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Ready for a bad cold and flu season? A cold is a cold, but flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, backed by medical professionals everywhere. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number to call. Tanking, and when you're a fan, how do you take it? Like, how do you receive that? Is it something that you just willfully get behind? And do the Cubs change that at all? We continue that conversation. We'll talk to Mike Florio about a lot going on in the NFL. Coaching changes, the drama of different teams across the league. So much to get to with him at 10 o'clock as well. Nick Szczepkowski and Jay Zawoski were in for Spiegel and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in. Nick Szczepkowski, Jay Zawoski with you. We're in for Spiegel and Parkins today on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. 312-644-6767 is that telephone number to call. About 15 minutes from now, it's Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports, and there is a ton going on in the NFL. Not just coaching changes or potential coaching changes. It's another week with another what the hell is a catch? I thought I knew what a catch was. There's more of that to discuss. There's drama galore amongst teams and fighting with teammates all across this league, so a ton to get to with that.
I have some breaking Blackhawks news here.
Uh-oh.
The Blackhawks have placed goalie Corey Crawford on injured reserve.
Again.
Now,
it's the second time in what, 3 weeks?
The Hawks have not played since what, the 22nd of December?
Yeah, they played pre-Christmas.
This is completely news to me. I will try to find out what's going on here. But this is not good news because without the Corey Crawford on this team, the Blackhawks are not good. So they've recalled Jeff Glass, the Rockford IceHogs goalie. So get excited about that. But Corey Crawford placed on injured reserve. I will try to figure out what I can about this, but not good.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting a whole lot of Hawks conversation necessarily, but they've been a disaster without him this year. Like, what was going on at the House of Blues this weekend? This week, anything?
I have not checked the concert lineup.
Well, I told Bernstein yesterday. I told him this yesterday because his kid, Jason, always wants a different Chicago sports jersey. Or his birthday falls on Christmas. So for his birthday, he always gets a different sports jersey. And I asked him, I'm like, oh, which athlete did your son curse this week when he got his new jersey? Because he's had like Pernell McPhee.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. He has a handful of players that just always get hurt or get shipped out of town. And he's like, oh, well, he grew, so he needed a new Corey Crawford jersey. I'm like, oh, so Corey Crawford's going to be hurt soon. And sure enough, it's the Jason Bernstein curse.
The worst family.
But that, like,
they're the worst.
The Hawks are a bad team without him, though. When was the stretch that they had him on injured reserve this year?
Yeah, it's about a week.
It was they
so
were
it wasn't
awful.
That bad. But
they,
it was,
he had a couple of bad games this year against the Devils. Otherwise, he's probably been the best player on this team this year.
There's no doubt about that. He has been the reason they've remained in the playoff hunt at all. His numbers are phenomenal. He's near the top of the league in nearly every category. And they've needed it before when the Hawks were really good. Remember that when they were winning Stanley Cups all those many years ago? Let's live in that time.
I feel like we're showing our Notre Dame football fandom again. Remember that?
It wasn't that long. It was only two calendar years ago. Come on.
It feels like so long ago, doesn't it?
I know. But
2015 feels like forever ago.
Back then, the defense was good. So the numbers would get kind of pumped up by a better D. This defense is not good. Corey Crawford is the reason the Hawks are at all competitive. And if he's out for any, I would say more than a week, they could fall. I mean, this playoffs race is tight. And they could lose. If they losing three or four games could be fatal for them. Seriously. I know it's the end of December, early January. But when it's this close, every point counts. And they're going to need every last point they can get. Two IR stints for Crawford by Christmas is not good. I don't know how they're going to withstand that.
Yeah, we're real curious to find out what if it's more of the same in terms of injury with that. Or, I mean, I know you'll do digging and you have your sources and you'll work that and try to figure that out for us as we move along here. But, I mean, it would be, I don't want to say an upset for them to be in the playoffs already, but they're playing behind the eight ball a little bit here. It's not like something that I'd be confident in saying they're just going to turn it on. Those Blackhawks teams, because of the trades that have been made, because of the lack of defense, that's gone, and I don't feel like it's just coming back anytime soon.
Here's the thing. Even if they do make the playoffs, it probably won't matter much. Fight. They're not going to win anything this
year. Four games and done, just like last year.
And we've spent the first hour of the show talking about rebuilding. That is going to become a real conversation for Blackhawks fans sooner than they'd like to hear. Because unless Alex DeBrincat is Patrick Kane, which he's probably not. He's probably not a Hall of Famer, right? And unless Nick Schmaltz is
MVP and a regular towards the top of the scoring title or chase.
Unless Nick Schmaltz is a perennial all-star, this window is closing. It's barely open as it is, and it's closing fast because Jonathan Toews has gone from
I was going to say, what about number 19 that has regressed from being one of the two or three best in the entire sport to, I don't want to say just a guy, but not much more than, all right, he's good.
At some point,
but there's nothing that you look at and you're like, well, he's taking over a game or he's dominating puck possession or anything like he used to. That is nowhere, absolutely nowhere to be found.
At some point, it stops being a slump and just starts becoming a reality. And I think that's where we are with Jonathan Toews. An excellent two-way player, but he's not an elite scorer anymore. And if you're looking at maybe 50, 60 points from him, $10.5 million is too much to pay for leadership in D. I'm sorry. I know it's harsh. And I love Jonathan Toews, my favorite Hawks player of all time, because of everything he did up to this point.
He's taken over for Bob Probert? That's big news in the Zawoski
Probert
household.
Was never – Roenick was always my
– Oh, okay.
Roenick's the reason
Probert
I love
– Did you wear a Probert jersey like when you got announced at your wedding?
I never had a Roenick jersey. I was too
yes,
young –
Yes, you did. You had the USA one you wore.
I did have a USA one. I never had a Roenick Hawks jersey because I was too young to afford it when he was on a team.
Fair enough.
So
– Yeah, that's I look at it with the Hawks, though, and – it feels like because of they've built up the stock of, all right, Stan Bowman, you have multiple championships that you've won. Got to figure it out. Be a playoff team. And it's like, when does that finally kind of close? And when do you stop getting the benefit of the doubt? Like, I'm not saying anyone's, in terms of the front offices, seats are hot. But
I don't know.
Bowman, not like.
I think that if someone's going to go. Let's say at the end of this year, I would think so. I would think it'd be Q.
Okay, because I wasn't considering him. I was thinking more like upstairs management, not as much.
You have to know, though,
behind a bench.
John McDonough cares about the public eye of things. And what would be the reaction of the fans if Q is fired?
It wouldn't be good.
He shouldn't care. And hopefully he doesn't. Because every coach has a shelf life. Theo Epstein talks about it all the time.
It says the 10-year window.
That's where we are.
Walsh is the one that either he learned it from or read it from or whatever it was, and that's where he kind of took it from, is you kind of have 10 years in a place, and then you get worn out and you need to start looking for something else because it just isn't, either it's the drive or whatever it is just not there.
Well, and the game is changing.
Well, the game's changing, but also, like, you start to kind of block out after a while. Like, it's super rare cases, and I don't know why in hockey. It feels like it plays out more in this sport, coaching-wise, than any other one, and I don't have the actual data, but just going off of, like, when you look at, like, the biggest names in hockey history, coaching-wise. And the one I think of is the Bowmans.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Bowman's obviously done a great job here, learns everything. Not everything. I shouldn't say that. He's obviously worked hard on his own and learned what he's learned. But his dad is hockey royalty. And it's like, why was he always going from job to job to job? It's like he couldn't stick on for an extended amount of time, either in Montreal. I guess in Detroit he eventually did. But yeah, he has these runs of championships and great runs in all these cities. And it's like, yeah, because that wears out before too long. And hockey, it feels like it's, for some reason, whether it's the Mike Keenan stuff or some of the other coaches you've had, that just, like, good coaches wear out faster than elsewhere.
It also, though, recycles more than any sport. It seems like it's the same guys over and over getting hired, like Ken Hitchcock.
Right.
You know, it's like, he's going to retire. Oh, now he's in Dallas.
Well, he's in Dallas.
Yeah, so.
Randomly stumbled into a Ken Hitchcock interview, and that's for some point in February. I have to get Ken Hitchcock on the air. A great interview. I'm telling you.
I would love to.
Ken Hitchcock is an outstanding interview. I will tell you this right now.
Well, I have in my head, is this too much hockey ticker in my head? Because I know that I would do it all day, and I know that most people don't want to. So I have the clock in my head. So booking Ken Hitchcock would really, really. I would need someone else to do that or request it before I would do it.
But I came across him being interviewed because I'll listen to sports radio in various cities when there's news happening. And it's like, wow, he's everything you want your coach to be with the media, telling you what's not working, why it's not working, who sucks and who's good in his team and why. And it's just like, oh, wow, like that's unbelievable. I kind of like Ken Hitchcock now. I digress. Coming up here, we're going to talk to Mike Florio. There's a ton happening in the NFL. Coaching changes about to take place. Drama on just about every team you look at. We're going to do that in just a couple of minutes. This segment brought to you by IKEA. Save up to 50% on select items at the IKEA Winter Sale. It's not a mistake. The IKEA Winter Sale going on now to January 10th. IKEA, make the dream yours. 312-644-6767. Nick Szczepkowski, Jay Zawoski, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports joins us next on The Score.